I'm Lenny Kluge.
The Chile Today podcast is the first ever English-speaking bi-weekly news podcast.
We discuss news topics, travel, business, and more.
To find out more about the news topics you'll hear about today, check out our news affiliate, chiletoday.cl.
If you have a question, a story to share, or just want to say hey, email us at chiletodaypodcast@gmail.com, at Chile Today Podcast on Instagram or on Facebook.
If you're feeling generous, please rate and review us, arvejas, wherever you listen, so more folks can find our podcast.
You might want to do the last line again.
I'm not doing it again.
Fine. Hello and welcome to the Chile Today podcast. I'm Lenny. I'm sitting here with podcast Pinguino, faithfully on the controls of the computer audio machine, doing his thing. And also here with us in spirit is Bethany, who is living it up in Mexico right now. Greetings from Chile. I hope you're having a great day and some cool Mai Tais on the beach.
Yeah, so Bethany couldn't make it right now. I'll be filling in for her at the moment. So yeah, just wanted to mention that. I'm Pinguino.
Okay, guys. Now, in case you notice some difference in terms of sound quality, we apologize, but we really had to MacGyver the shit out of this episode right now because Bethany unfortunately locked up all the audio equipment before she went on vacation. As you notice, we are real professionals here, but we kind of made it work. We have to share a mic, and it's not the mic as usual, and I had to bring my interface. We had to use cables, but it works. You hear my voice. So hooray for that.
Yeah, there's a potato mixed in somewhere and a banana peel just to make the whole thing work. But, you know, it sounds okay, yeah. Right?
Well, MacGyver would be so proud of it. Do you kids even know who MacGyver is still? Is that just old me talking? Popular series out from the 90s?
I know who MacGyver was, but mostly because of the jokes and the sketches.
Oh, God damn it.
That's just, I don't know the original one. I just know the what everyone always makes fun of him.
It was a great show, okay? Anyway, let's get it started. So, first off, announcements, or more like singular form, announcement. I just wanted to let you guys know that the Chistolas, which is a group that Bethany and I are affiliated with and we are both part of, is having an event coming up on the 22nd of December, not December 23rd as initially planned, which is the horrible movie night at the Black Rock Pub. It is a night in which we show a horrible movie, which is horribly fun. And this time, it's going to be the Star Wars Holiday Special, which is so horribly bad that it was actually banned by George Lucas himself. Well, not like this guy can actually ban anything, but, you know, if the godfather of Star Wars doesn't want you to see it, you definitely have to watch it. So come over December 22nd, Black Rock Pub. I think it starts at around 8 p.m., I think so. Yeah, well, we'll post it on the website anyway. It's going to be a hell of a fun. It's going to be for free. So come over, have a laugh, and join us there.
Yeah, in fact, this Star Wars special, it was never released on DVD. We could only find it on VHS copies. And yeah, VHS copies, you know, fun, looks great. It's amazing. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'll be there. And yeah.
Yeah, well, you know a movie is bad when it's not even getting released on DVD, just in that doesn't even, what do you call this, a turkey, right? Like a turkey when it goes straight to DVD? Or am I mixing metaphors here?
I think you are.
Yeah? Well, if it's not a turkey, then it's a duck. I don't know. Just making shit up. Anyway, so news. We got a lot of news, so no dilly-dallying around. We got a lot of news to get to, so let's get to the news right now. News. So, let's start with what has happened in the political sphere the last 2 weeks since you've last heard from us, because there has been a lot going on, especially when it comes to the two contenders for the December 19th runoff for the presidentials, Mr. José Antonio Kast and Gabriel Boric. So let's start off with our fan favorite Kast. I'm just kidding. I don't think he's a fan favorite, but you know, I know my audience.
At least, yeah.
Exactly, this audience. Well, I might be wrong, who knows? Now, as was to be expected, both candidates made some adjustments to their political programs because both candidates have to pander to the middle, to the center of the political spectrum, so that comes as no surprise. So basically what Kast did, he kind of like double down on the law and order approach, which surprised me a little bit because, you know, I mean, that he already had an extreme stance to begin with, but I guess he sort of recognized that this is something that his constituency was really worried about, that a lot of, you know, other Tealians are worried about too, so he basically just doubled down on that. He also placed a lot more emphasis on the economic recovery of the country, and he wants to basically now guarantee a quote-unquote dignified life with focus on the person, not the economy. So I guess, like, people were telling him that he has been dehumanizing a little bit the Chileans in his program, so I guess he kind of took the hint. He also wants to take on climate change a lot more decidedly than he used to in his original program. And, surprise, surprise, he's also talking about women's rights, you know. But he's specifically mentioning La Mujer Chilena, so that's an important distinction in my opinion, you know. So those are, you know, in very broad terms, the main changes that he made to his program. And he also distanced himself from several points in his old program. So, for example, he's no longer espousing as much the construction of new power plants. And he also has distanced himself. He backpedaled a lot on his original idea of abolishing the women's ministry. As he said in his own words, fue un error, that was a mistake. And now what he wants to do, he doesn't want to abolish it as such. He wants to merge that ministry with the Ministry of Social Development. And also, he had to make clear, very much so, that he no longer intends to privatize Codelco, which is, you know, Chile's state-owned, copper manufacturer, copper extraction company.
It's the whole copper. They do copper. They
the copper guys.
Yeah, they extract it, sell it to China, then buy it back and whatnot. It's like 11% of the Chilean economy.
No biggie. So yeah, he actually initially he wanted to privatize the company, which caused huge backlash, especially from the workers unions of Codelco Norte. And he has been declared basically persona non grata by the workers union. So he had to really backpedal a lot, because thinking about it, I think these comments before the first round might also explain why Parisi did so damn well in the northern regions, you know? Because, I mean, I think people there tend towards caste politics a lot more, but that didn't really sit well with them, so really has to make amends in those fields.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was literally proposing to take away, like, their number one income in the north. I mean, you take away the copper in the north, it's basically just a bunch of llamas in the desert.
Yeah, people don't like it when you take away their income. You'd be surprised. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So much about the adjustments to his program. All right, moving on to Boric. Now, Boric also made a couple of adjustments to his program, because just as his contender Kast, he really needs to pander to the center of political spectrum. So he backpedaled on a lot of things too. Now, starting with the whole planned tax revenue, which he adjusted from 8 to 5 percentage point of the GDP, with one of the main cutbacks on green taxes, mainly gas tax. However, today I read that apparently he doesn't want to cut back on the gas tax. So I don't know how recent this piece of news was. But
yeah, just be careful, because that whole gas tax being pushed a lot by the fake news right-wing idea.
Okay.
You know, because mainly focusing on that, saying like, oh, if Boric happens, you know, you won't be able to drive your car.
Yeah, okay, thanks for making that point, because what I saw today was actually, it looked a lot like a right-wing meme, and it was posted by somebody who I would expect to post something like that. So yeah, so basically he made an adjustment because he says he wants to basically increase tax revenue by 8%, he wants to increase tax revenue so that basically they achieve, they get to be 8% of the total GDP. He backpedaled because he kind of understood that this is not a very realistic goal. He basically said, okay, let's make it 5. And yeah, so cutbacks on green taxes and mainly the gas tax, which had me thinking, like, really? Like, you couldn't have picked, like, a less controversial tax to cut back on? It's, I don't know, man, like, I don't know, book taxes? I don't know, taxes on book? I don't know. I have no idea. But
no, that book tax is here to stay, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, I think the reason why he mainly focused on the main tax, on the gas tax, was because it's a tax that directly affects people. You know, like, gas prices are rising a lot. I mean, some places you can see it's Luca, the tank.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's crazy. It's the first time I've seen this ever.
Yeah, so I think that that's why he focused on cutting the gas tax, because, you know, it's something that directly affects people, and that if, you know, if the current gas prices keep rising, then you add another gas tax to that, it's going to be unusable. And, you know,
Chilezuela,
yeah.
Oh, no, hold on. They got cheap gas. No, this doesn't work.
Okay,
gas.
No, yeah. It doesn't work.
Yeah, that doesn't
and work. Cuba.
Yeah, whatever.
Does Cuba, have cheap gas? I have no idea.
I don't know, but yeah, probably.
By the way, I was watching so a lot of the old Chilean telenovelas are being reshown on TV. And I remember I was watching one, and they showed like a gas station, and it had it was from the 90s, and they had gas like 100 pesos.
Oh,
the tank.
It drove the tears to your eyes. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. I just remember I was walking home the other day, and I lived next to a gas station, and I just saw, like, for the first time ever, what was it, like 97, like 1,000, because you usually they have like three digits and then like a decimal point, and then like another one, which I don't even know why they bother, because, you know, Chilean currency doesn't have, you know, sub-currency. But it was just the weirdest thing, because like all of a sudden the decimal point disappeared. They had just had to take it out manually, because now the liter of gas was more than 1,000 pesos, which was just, whoa. It was just surreal to look at. But
yeah, and that's, unfortunately, that's only in the metropolitan region, in the regiones.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
even worse.
Yeah.
And then you need a car, otherwise you can't get to your farm. Or I'm from Santiago, so I don't
really
know.
Your homestead.
Yeah.
I don't know what people do there outside, you know, to your cows or whatever. So yeah, so that's one of the taxes that he wants to cut back. I mean, I get your point that it's a tax that affects a lot of poor people, but then also don't forget that he put a lot of emphasis on environmental policies. So that's something that might come back to bite him in the ass, especially for the people that actually did vote for him because of his environmental policies. So we'll see how that works, how that pans out. Another thing that he stepped back on his program, he seemingly wants to recover. So he seemingly wants to recover these 3 percentage points by implementing an anti-tax evasion measures. Although his team, they had to admit that this will probably take between 5 to 6 years to come to fruition, you know? Another thing that he stepped back from is the idea of completely dismantling the tax code. Now they want to make improvements to the existing system by tackling issues such as double taxation agreements and dividend policies, you know, which is, you've come a long way there, because, you know, I remember the rhetoric was we're going to basically upend it all, you know, make it all new. And then they were like, yeah, well, let's just tweak it a little bit. So he's getting more moderate there.
I'm a film student, so none of these words mean anything to me.
Taxes. Oh yeah, you'll learn soon enough.
Yeah, I know
every,
tax.
Every
I know,
April, man.
I know tax. I just know that's what libertarians don't like, and Robin Hood apparently. But I have no idea what the dividends or any of what you just said.
Oh no, double taxation agreements basically means when. Okay. Now I'm going out on a limb here, but
yeah,
we're talking.
Yeah, this is just gonna go in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, I think if you.
I'm sorry, I just.
Yeah. Well, I'm not doing this for your benefit, because obviously maybe I'm doing it for the benefit of our esteemed audience. But I barely know what I'm talking about myself, so.
I mean, well, I can just cut this out.
You could.
I'm the editor, so.
Could do that too. All right, moving on then. Another thing that he changed in his program is that he said that immigrants that committed serious crimes or that have a criminal record will not be able to stay in Chile, which is huge. Yeah, well, you know, I can double check my source, but this is what they said on BioBio or Cooperativa. I don't quite remember, but that is huge, because he was an adamant defendant of immigrants, which he still is, you know. And in a way, okay, look, whatever you think about it, I mean, it's sort of makes sense to a lot of people saying, hey, look, like if you really screw up one time, two times, three times, like you're not welcome here any longer. You also have to consider that there are certain ethical considerations. Now, if you are, I don't know, somebody like me who comes from Germany, and if I screw up and, you know, I turn into a criminal, then I don't think there are any ethical consideration of, you know, booting me back to my home country, because it's cool over there, you know, no war, no nothing, no hardship. But if we're talking about people from Haiti, from Venezuela, if we're talking people from Syria, you know, people that come from regions that are really going through a hard time right now, like you really got to ask yourself, okay, regardless of the severity of the crimes that they committed here, would it be ethically responsible to send them back in a country where they are most likely to die. Basically, they get back and then they are being persecuted for being political dissidents. They probably could die in the next mortar attack on their hometown. So that's something that they have to take into consideration. And I think this is also something that Boric will probably have to get a little bit more into detail with.
Yeah.
But you know what he could say no to? That's a smooth segue right now. Yeah, absolutely. To the Bad Boys program, which he eventually did. The Bad Boys, as you guys might remember, we just talked about, Cass participated in that program, and he actually was kind of affable, very amenable. It actually went pretty well for Cast. And
well, that's, yeah, Bad Boys is Parisi's video chat, exactly. Spotify thing that's up on internet and YouTube, stuff like that.
Exactly. If you guys have a shorter memory like Dory, I do remember that we just talked about that, or maybe like our droning on and on just already, because we're like an hour in already.
Yeah, that's... are we halfway through or?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's just 2 hours.
Exactly. Plus the other part of the part two of the election.
Long episode.
See, it's going to be, well, you know, get used to it. So yeah, basically Boric, he was also invited to Parisi's vidcast, originally for Tuesday 7, then it was changed to Friday 10th. I think it was to avoid like conflicting schedules there. And now the team, and then after that, his team was calling it into question whether he was actually going to participate at all. His campaign manager, Isia Sitis, was fearing Iskia. That... Iskia, what did I say?
Iskia.
Iskia. Iskia Sitis. So she feared that Boric might be ambushed during the show and treated much less affably than his contender cast during the Sunday edition of the show. And rumor has it, and you mentioned that before, rumor has it that cast has met with Parisi, or their advisors met in private during the USA visit, and basically just horse-traded possible position in ministries and embassies. So Team Boric suspected that they might be in cahoots and basically just to take down their candidate, you know, just basically corner them and just bombard them with, like, you know, impossible questions and whatever. And actually yesterday, by the time of this recording, yesterday in Candidato Yo Tu Hora, a TV show, he announced that he will definitely not participate in the show. And as an explanation, he mentioned basically Parisi's unwillingness to pay his outstanding child support, and that he will not tacitly legitimate such behavior by appearing on a show. Okay, look, you might not agree. Personally, I think it's a bad move that he didn't participate in this show. Because first of all, the whole thing that he's not going to participate because he doesn't want to espouse basically his Parisi's behavior in not paying child support, that's such a thin argument. I mean, look, like you've also already had all the media attention with Iskia Sitis saying that, yeah, we're calling into question whether he should participate at all because we're fearing that he might be ambushed. And, you know, like that I could understand in a way, be like, okay, look, it's a strategic decision, because if he thinks that basically participating and being made an ass out of during the show might have a bigger negative impact than not participating at all, okay, then it would maybe make sense not to participate. But then saying that, no, I'm doing it for moral reasons. Look, like, Boric already has a reputation of being, how they call it, the volteretas? What do you call it?
Volteretas,
basically just, you know.
Backtracking
or, like, flip-flopping, you know? Like, I would have rather had him say, look, no, I think they're hostile. I don't think I will be treated fairly. I think that would have been a better reason than just to say, I don't espouse this kind of behavior. And this is like a moral argument for me right now. But like beyond that, I just think that he should have just participated because this is what people expect from him. This is what Cass did. And man, he might have been taken down a notch or two during the program, but like he could have earned big points for the population if he were to stand his ground during this program. And not going there is, in my personal opinion, it's kind of, it looks like chickening out to me, honestly. So I don't think he did himself a favor there. I don't know what you think, but I don't think he did.
Yeah, I have a lot of opinions about this. I've talked about it extensively on Reddit.
That's my alma mater.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, university.
The main problem I have with that was I think he should have never contemplated to go there in the first place. Like, if he had been from the beginning and said, like, oh, no, I'm not going to deal with Parisi because, you know, the child alimony thing, you know, he can't come in. He hasn't come into the country. He can't. He owes a lot of money. He's, you know, wanted by the PDI, blah, 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 from the beginning. But the fact that he said, like, oh, yeah, I might go. And then it's because he just said everything that you just said.
Yeah, I might go, and then I might not go for reason A, and then I'm not going for reason B.
Yeah.
It's just, really?
Yeah, if he had from the beginning said, like, oh, I'm not going to go to this because if I do, then it blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that might have been a bit better and earned him a bit more votes than, you know, saying it first, I'll go, then not go, then maybe not go, then definitely I won't be there. Because, well, there is this one thing that everyone that, I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but everyone, like, both Cass and Boric are trying to suck up to Parisi to sort of...
What, to his constituency, let's say, you know?
Yes.
It's not Parisi as such. I mean, they don't give a shit about
No,
Parisi.
But the thing is that they're sucking up to Parisi. They're, like, saying, like, Cass said, like, oh, you know, the problem with Parisi is that there's some... It's not that he won't pay, is that there's payment isn't being... it's not being transpired or something like that. He said something weird about the alimony payments of Parisi, and, you know, Cast went and met up with and, you know, did the show with Parisi, which he did, like as you said, he came off pretty fun and affable, and he had a good situation there. But I was thinking about last election, 2017, there was a lot of the leftist candidates said, you know, it was Guille versus Piñera. A lot of the leftist candidates said, oh, you know, we should need to vote for Guille, not Piñera. But I was reading that, for example, Marco Enrico Ominami, who's a really leftist candidate, 70% of his voters voted for Piñera.
Whoa.
Even though he publicly endorsed the other guy. So I don't know if Parisi says, oh, go for Cast, I'm not sure if that's going to really exactly translate to more votes.
Yeah, but then again, you know, I don't understand. That's why I'm saying they're trying to suck up, not so much suck up to Parisi, but to the voters, you know, because they have, as you, I absolutely agree. I think a lot of voters already made up their mind. And I think in a way, public endorsements of political parties and political candidates are so overrated in a way. I mean, just because Sichel or Provostis says, vote for this guy, vote for that guy, I don't think it's going to sway the opinion of most of the people. I think what sways the opinion of most of the people is basically using the platform that they have to make their point, which is why I personally think that it was a mistake for Boric not to go on there, in spite of the danger of him being bombarded and ambushed. But he could have really cleared up a few points. Because you can be sure as hell that a lot of Parisi voters were actually looking out for that and watching that show. And they were probably expecting, okay, look, Parisi's out of the race, so let's see what these guys have to say. And him not participating sent a clear signal to the Parisi voters saying, okay, that guy is not willing to debate. He's chickening out. That's how I see it.
Yeah, that's why I mean, like, you know, him, he should have never even thought about it. Or, huh?
Yeah, but even then, you know, it's better. Like, I get it. Like, it would have been better if he just said no from the beginning rather than flip flopping around. But I still think it would have been the better choice if he had said yes from the get go. I guess, okay, this is where we differ here.
One thing that I was reading about is that a lot of the people from Parisi's party, which is the Partido de la Gente, Party for the People. Mm-hmm. Party for the people.
People's party.
The people's party.
It sounds very communist China.
Yeah, I just said it out loud. I kept thinking, like, that doesn't sound right. Yeah. So a lot of other but he's basically the figurehead of the Party of the People. But there are a lot of other candidates in the Party of the People who do have their own shows and they have their own podcasts and have their own.
Like Luis Moreno. Whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe instead of going directly for Parisi, maybe Boric could have gone to those other ones, which generally I think are more seen by the members of the Party of the People.
You think so?
I have no idea. I just know. Kind of pulled that one out of somewhere where the sun don't shine. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough thing.
It's done anyway, so.
Yeah, because one of the things that I remember a journalist was mentioning about Parisi is the fact that Parisi moves a lot around, you know, through WhatsApp and through the social media, so it's hard to really nail down who are the Parisi voters and how many of them are they are or how they communicate. That's because, you know, that's one of the main reasons why Parisi seemingly came out of nowhere and got the third most votes in the entire election. Because a lot of the traditional ways of tallying and doing the polls and that kind of stuff doesn't take them into account because they don't move around in the traditional sense. Because I think Parisi is also like, he's very popular with little kids. Like streamers and stuff like that.
You wouldn't expect after all, he hasn't paid his child support anyway.
Oh, that's true.
He's not popular with those little kids.
With a lot of little kids, except his.
Yeah. Well, it's a very fuzzy electorate anyway. Okay, moving on to other news. Good news, actually. Well, it depends on where you stand. But for me, it's good news. Same-sex marriage has been legalized here in Chile, finally.
Now, I'd say in general, it's good news. Independently.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of people who don't like that. I know, but who cares? So that bill was approved 82 votes in favor, 20 against, and 2 abstentions, which is wowsy. In a way, I'm not that surprised that it passed because times they are changing, but damn, 82 to 20?
That was in the Congress or the Senate? No, I think that Congress. Was, I don't think we have that many senators.
Yeah, probably.
I think we have like 50.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a watershed victory there. Like I didn't see that coming. Like I think nobody saw that coming. And I was also like, hold on, I didn't even know that bill was discussed. So well, good for them, you know, because that wasn't really a lot of media hubbub around that before that.
The information you have here. I mean, this was a bill originally presented by Michelle Bachelet in 2017. It had been stalled for a while, but Piñera during his last State of the Union. Well, no, we don't call it State of the Union. It has another name here, but it's he gave like a
what, la huella que pasa en el país.
Exactly. We have it on the 21st of May because an important guy died that day. Yeah. Anyway. In his last State of the Union, Piñera said like he was gonna give importance. He was gonna because here in the country here in Chile, the president is the one who decides what bills get marks as urgent, and it basically decides the order the bills get discussed in Parliament. And so, yeah, he specifically put urgent to the legalization of same-sex marriage. I think it's sort of like a way to clean his image.
Yeah.
Definitely, because, the one thing about Piñera is that he's never been more, he's right-wing, but he's not really that, like, sort of religious.
No, he's basically liberal right wing business, kind of like he very pragmatic right wing. I don't think he cares a lot about like the moral pillars that basically Cass his campaign on.
Yeah, so Piñera isn't really that much of a religious weirdo, so he's not. I don't think he really cared about it. So he just saw like quick opportunity to like clean his image after everything that's happened.
And he's been doing a lot of that lately.
Oh yeah,
and I'm just like, man, he really like. I just got the impression that he really wants to make life as hard for Cust as hard as possible if Cust turns out to be president. because right now, looking at Piñera and everything that he's done, like one thing that we're not going to get into a lot of details, like he also basically abolished the Sename, the Servicio, and he replaced it with something else. And this is something that actually Cust wanted to take on. So he kind of like stole his thunder there with the whole thing with the same sex marriage now.
And today, Thursday? Piñera announced that he was going to implement a universal pension fund, which was a point in Boric's program. So, yeah, he's just grabbing everything and just he's setting fire to the house before locking it
up. So we're going to start calling him Comrade Piñera from now on because apparently he has become a left-wing politician for some reason. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. So anyway, so that bill. Also, that bill enables gay couples to adopt children, which is something that has been overlooked a little bit. And now, with this bill being passed and written into law, Chile is the 8th Latin American country to legalize same-sex marriage, and I think the 34th worldwide, so 30-something. So, this clear vote came as a surprise, and to most, it really put sort of a damper on Cast's aspirations because, I mean, he says like, well, you know, if Congress decides it, I'm going to leave it be. But I guess he was seething on the inside. He must not have liked that. All right, so yippee-yay about that. Now, less yippee-yay are the new border control plans because Omicron, which is, I think, is a kick-ass fucking name. You said it sounds like a Transformer.
Decepticon.
Decepticon, yeah, exactly. It's like the new head of the Decepticon, the Omicron. By the way, just little sidebar.
Apparently, we have a lot of variants that we don't know about, like Lambda, Kappa, whatever. It's just like they're not variants of concern. So the last one was, I think, was Kappa. And then they were like, why did we skip to Omicron? Because before that was Nu and Xi. And they were like, well, Nu sounds too much like new. So people would think it's like a new variant. And then Xi, they were like, Xi sounds like a lot of people in China have that last name. But like the subtext was, we don't want to offend the Chinese president. So that was kind of a, that was.
Oh, yeah, isn't he? Xi Jinping.
Xi Jinping. So I think so. Yeah. So that was kind of, that was
sorry,
kind of.
Sorry for the mispronunciation of Chinese. I mean, I don't
know. Xi Jinping. Oh, Haola. So. So as of December 1st, travelers coming from several Southern African nations are banned from entering the country due to the proliferation of the Omicron variant. Now, these countries include Botswana, Eswatini, which I was like, Eswatini, I've never heard about that before. Looked it up. That used to be called Swaziland until 2018. I had no idea they renamed. Yeah, I had no idea either. So I was like, well, guess you learn something new every day.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Furthermore, it includes Lesotho, Mozambique, Namibia, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. So Chilean nationals and residents may enter, but they must take a PCR and self-isolate for 7 days, regardless of the vaccination status. Non-residents that have not traveled to any of those countries are permitted to enter the country given that they have completed the vaccination scheme with a MINSAL-approved vaccine. MINSAL is the health ministry. Or meet the exemption criteria established by the very same health ministry. Furthermore, they must present a proof of insurance covering COVID-19-related medical expenses. And children under 6 are allowed to enter the country unconditionally. So it doesn't matter if you are vaccinated or not. If you are a kid under 6, apparently you're immune. So I don't know. Now, all passengers over the age of 2 have to present a negative PCR result taken no longer than 72 hours before departure and complete a traveler affidavit before boarding. I hope you guys took note, because if you are living in one of these Southern African countries right now, this might be of relevance. So I'm sorry, because I won't be seeing you anytime soon. And I hope this thing is going to blow over very quickly.
Also, cheers to living in Africa. That's really interesting.
I'm going to give you a little tidbit of news just to shut down the news segment, which has been going on for almost 1.5 hours now. And alpacas. Everybody loves alpacas because scientists have found that antibodies synthesized from alpacas irreversibly neutralize and shut down the COVID-19 virus. That's it, guys. We're saved. Alpacas are our hope and our future. The pandemic is over. Burn your face masks. Abandon social distance. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Please wear masks and get vaccinated and everything. But hey, the alpaca news is a good thing. Now we got to make this work. It would be great.
You said this was new?
Well, it was. I think it came out after we recorded our last thing.
Oh, okay, because I remember. Because yeah, I think I've been
about alpacas.
I've been hearing about alpacas.
Not basil.
No, but I've been hearing about alpacas saving us from COVID-19 viruses for a while now.
Yeah, and they never step up to the lazy alpacas. Do it already. What's wrong with you, alpacas? Can never rely on those alpacas, man. Lazy alpacas. You know what's worse than alpacas?
What?
Llamas. And don't even start with those vicuñas, man. Horrible. They don't do shit for you. They probably, yeah, they'd probably let you die of COVID, man. Alpacas certainly do. Come on, get your shit together.
They cheat on their wives.
They what?
They cheat on their wives. I know like 5 people who are going to understand that. But
They cheat on, like, basically with your wife. You know, can't trust an alpaca. So with that, we're going to end the new segment. And we're going to start our little part 2 of our, well, Chilean election special, some of which might sound a little bit outdated in the face of the news that we just gave, but outdated doesn't mean no longer relevant. So listen up, folks, because it's going to get interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately, everything election related is going to be real important till 19th. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening and continue. Thank you for listening, because the thing's not over. Listen to me, Lighty and Bethany talk about the election.
Okay, where are we?
We good? You recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, perfect. So yeah, I mean, what to expect
from here on out till the runoff on December 19th is, in a nutshell, basically chaos. Both candidates, yeah, that too, and both candidates basically just pandering a little bit more to the center of the political spectrum, you know, just...
Do you really think Cass is going to pander to the middle?
Well, yeah, well, he has to. He has no other choice. I mean, he has to...
He's like, an arrogant toad.
Well, then so be it, and I'd be happy if it's going to be that way, because then he's going to lose, you know, that's not going to happen.
He's Professor Umbridge, but a dude...
Who's Professor Umbridge?
Do I know that? How dare you?
Is that a Harry Potter thing?
Get out of my apartment.
Is that a Harry Potter thing?
It is.
Oh, God damn it. Sorry, I'm not a Harry Potter fanboy. I do appreciate Harry Potter, though. No, but anyway, so
as
that's kind of like...
cultural phenomenon.
It's, yeah, it's a fad. Like,
it's been a fad for over 20 years.
Like this internet thing.
Like phones.
Phones and stuff.
Facebook.
So yeah, we kind of like do expect, like this is what you can expect, like both candidates trying to pander to basically all the people that gave their votes to Sichel, to Provosto, to Parisi, you know,
again,
all that
yeah.
kind of thing. Now, okay. That begs,
to Provosto.
Now that begs the question, okay, we're going to have a runoff election on December 19th. And if you look at the turnout now...
And we're going to cover it, don't worry.
Exactly, we're going to cover it. You look at the turnout now, and you go like, okay, well, wait, whatever happened to basically all them peoples that voted for the apruebo in the 2020 plebiscite? I mean, we had a basically turnout of more than 50% and more than 78% voted for apruebo. So I was like, okay, what's going to happen there? Now, the thing is that, and I also looked at that number, said basically, historically, the turnout between the first round and the runoff, there's really not much of a difference. I mean, in 2017, there has only been 2 percentage points more than the first round. 2013, there was even 7% less than in the first round, you know? But you could make the case right now that this time it will be a little bit different because it's more about... it's more about preventing the other candidate
to win.
So you could basically say that maybe a lot more people will come out of the woodworks. And you could expect that a significant part of the 78% of the 50% electorate that came to vote in the 2020 plebiscite will come out to show their support for Boric. You know, that's...
Yeah, because again, the rechazo was 20-something percent.
Yeah.
And Cass got 20-something percent. So this is not surprising.
Right.
That Cass got that. What is more worrying is that other rotten candidates got votes. That's more confusing, more or less. But we don't know where those votes or where the votes that weren't for Boric or Cass are going to go to. We don't know what side they're going to land on.
And I mean, also, I think the question is, like, I mean, you're talking about the other right-wing candidates, which would be Sichel and Parisi.
Uh-huh.
I do not quite remember what their stance was on the plebiscite as per se.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Provosto was definitely a prevo.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, she's not a right-wing candidate. Come on.
Sichel was a prevo.
Parisi, I don't know, because Parisi was just like, I don't know who's Parisi. He's like up there in the States.
Yeah, again, he was in the U.S.
Parisi who? You know, so... But, you know, I don't know, man.
It's going to be interesting.
Like, Parisi is like the big wild card in this whole
thing. I feel like you can't compare this election to any other election. We've had so much going on since...
It's definitely interesting.
Since Piñera was elected, we've had the social movement.
Yep.
We've had the pandemic. We've had the constitutional vote. We've had so many things going on. And then if you compare it, like, if I'm just, like, thinking again, because my only comparison would be Trump election, right?
Mm.
And then we had in the primaries a significantly less amount of people to vote in the primaries that voted in the actual election. And that's when people came out of the woodwork to make sure that Trump didn't get elected.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a part of it that's like, is that going to happen here? Like it or not, nobody hate me, but trends that happen in the U.S. happen here a lot. Because Chile really likes to model a lot of things that happen, even unintentionally, after what happens in the U.S.
And I mean, it's so weird, especially when you look at the primaries and basically the landslide wins that some of the candidates just, they had like this huge win that nobody expected. And then you have the first round of the presidential elections and it's just fragmented as all hell.
People seem to be so decisive
and no, they're not.
I feel like fear is the biggest motivator to vote. And right now, the left is scared shitless. Because nobody on the left, no one. Everybody I've talked to, I kept trying to say never, like, you know, Gas could get some votes. And nobody expected him to get the quantity of votes that he got. Everybody's scared shitless. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let that fucking fear motivate you and your sister who's your roommate that didn't vote, and this person and that person to go out and vote.
Yeah, but
because the right's voting on fear.
Exactly.
Communism.
The right is voting on fear for communism.
But the right is always, since the Estallido, the right has been voting out of fear. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I mean, of course, before that, of course. But they have the fear motivator. Sorry, fear is a bigger motivator than like hope and wanting to change the world. It just is, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, if the left, the people who vote for Boric are scared shitless right now, maybe that'll be the push that they need to actually get out there and stand in the sun for 45 minutes waiting on a micro. You know?
Fun times.
Hey, if you don't have a ride to vote, let us know. We'll figure something out for you. I don't know how we'll do it if you're in a region, but we'll figure it out. I'll see if somebody else lives in that region that's going to go vote.
Yeah, talk to Bethany, not to me.
Just talk to Instagram. I'll figure it out.
Pinguino's going to figure it out. Thank you, Pinguino. That's very nice of you.
You got anything else?
So, for now, actually, one more point, but I actually would like to this to be the tail end because it's a little bit separated. So you want to talk about the international reaction of this whole thing,
right? We've already mentioned a few things.
Huh?
You've already mentioned a few things, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So do you want to save yours?
Yeah, for the variant because it's a bit detached.
Right.
It's an interesting tidbit, but nothing directly related to this whole thing.
Okay, so the international media obviously is following Chile a lot because there are a lot of international investments, especially with mining and then lithium coming through the pike, lots of things, fruit. And so everybody, fruit, I mean, really,
fruit.
So Thanksgiving is tomorrow, right, in the U.S. And a lot of people on pages are looking for cranberries. And it's funny, because most Chileans you meet in life have never tried a cranberry, and yet we are the third largest exporter of cranberries in the world because Chile doesn't eat their own fruit.
Is it cranberries or blueberries? Because it's the same word in Spanish.
Cranberries, because it was... I actually don't know, because this was a... What? Is it blueberries? Okay, well, for all I gotta say... Okay, well, cut that out, Pinguino.
Damn.
Well, okay, because... Oh, I read in English the biggest export of cranberries. But again, Aranda knows. Whatever. Okay, so anyway, cut that out.
Aranda knows on the nose.
Anyway, Aranda knows on the nose. Listen to our wine episode. It's so good. Aranda knows on the nose. Our wine episode with Alicia. So, Alicia Jessica. So, some of the results were on the surface of court expected by a lot of the international media who expected Cast and Boric to win. That was pretty expected. The levels, again, unexpected. Nobody in the international community expected Parisi to get in third place, who was campaigning all the way from, and I didn't know this, Alabama. I didn't realize he was campaigning from Alabama.
Oh, sweet home.
I'm from Arkansas, but okay.
Sweet home, Alabama.
Oh, okay. Oh,
come on.
No, you said home, sweet home.
No, sweet home, I said.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I'm just trying to don't get twisted because they're both A names and I'm from Arkansas.
I'm from the South.
So he secured third place. And so the overriding reaction from the international media is a sense that Chileans agree that there needs to be, like you said, a change, but are divided on what that change should be, right?
Word.
So again, talking about Boric, who has promoted, again, as you said, moderate left-wing policies that are resonating with progressives, said by the BBC.
Well,
CAS champions laws and orders that want to return more to Pinochet's era. BBC's words, not mine. So the fact that nobody managed to secure 50% means that we're going to have a second round, obviously. The Guardian argues that Cast's victory over Boric suggests that Cast's hardline stance resonate more than Boric's plans to expand Chilean's social welfare system, and that Cast's constituents is a backlash against Chile's progressive trajectory since the Estallido. In America, which is the U.S., these media outlets see the results as an end to the centrist legacy and system that Pinochet created. And the Wall Street Journal argues that two anti-establishment candidates on polar ends of the political spectrum have been chosen by the electorates in the country, which has traditionally been led by business-friendly moderates. So either way, the business model in the country is going to change, which is risky to a lot of investors.
Is that, like, if investors, the Wall Street Journal gets cold feet, that's
yeah, like something. The Wall Street Journal is basically saying, like, neither of these candidates look good for investing.
Right.
Because both of them are so extreme, or, again, Boric, not that extreme, but he is a leftist, so he is going to be focusing less on investments, more on internal Chilean...
internal affairs, whatever.
Exactly.
Politics.
So,
good show.
good soup. Okay. So this is what the Wall Street Journal argues as more evidence of the political instability in Latin Americans' affluent countries in general. And the Dutch Welle observes the Deutsche Welle, what is that?
Deutsche Welle.
There you go.
The German wave.
Observes that the presidential runoff is between, of course, the two political outsiders. That's what they think, and they will take over the country in preparing to rewrite the constitution. So that's true. Whoever wins is going to, whoever wins is still taking over the country with a new constitution. Like, even if Cass wins, we haven't even talked really about that.
That's actually the point that I wanted to bring up right
like,
now.
We are having a new constitution, so how is Boric, or how is Cass going to function within this idea that all of the laws that they knew before, all of the things that they could have done, they might not be able to do, or they might be allowed to do more things that they couldn't in the past. So that's sort of the idea. The basically what I am reading is that the world is sort of divided about what to do. Some people think Cass is really bad for investments because they're looking at some of the things that he's saying and seeing how he wants to lower taxes, but what does that do to the infrastructure of the country, right? While Boric wants to raise the minimum wage, and there's a lot of conflict depending on the country. And a lot of it's, as you said before, European models, which Boric sounds very European.
Like,
he
sounds
very safe.
Yeah.
It's a very safe European idea, while the U.S. looks at Cass and is like, that's, again, it's just the difference in what you see as leftist and right-wing culturally.
Right. And one thing is, like, also about Cass, like, he wants, you know, lower taxes and everything, but also the international media, they probably noticed that there has been something going on since 2019, meaning people on the streets, people being very discontent with what is going on, so they probably also understand, like, if Cass gets the presidency...
investments are going to plummet.
Yeah, and this ain't going to stop. I mean, yeah, okay, he might lower taxes, but people still be on the street, man.
That's the thing, is we haven't talked about this yet, but if Cast wins, you think the Estallido, if you were here, was a big deal? There, again, we were joking before the podcast. It's like, whose apartment's going to burn down first? Like, is it you and Nunez or me and Las Condes? Like, who, or is it my friend Mary? Hi, Mary. In Providencia. Like, because... it's going to happen. Like, things going to go down, and Cass is going to come out. People are going to die. People are going to, like, just going to happen. If you think things were violent in the Estallido, put a fascist, another dictator, in the eyes of many Chileans on the pedestal, right? And see what happens.
Yeah, well, let's hope for the best.
And again, that's why a lot of Europeans are like, he is not good for investments, because if we don't have a place, because it's burned down, to invest in...
if there's political instability...
If nobody can go to the mines because the airport is shut down because of protests, which is a thing that happened in the Estallido, then how do we invest in mining?
Right.
How do we invest in lithium?
Exactly. You might have a great economic environment, but if you do have political instability, what you going to do? You know,
yeah, what you going to do when it comes for you, that political instability?
Bad boy, Casper. No,
I the Europeans very much see Boric as a moderate leftist. So they don't see him as a threat to their investments the way that the United States does, right?
Yeah,
so,
Cass, by the way, also won the vote in the U.S., which is not that surprising.
Nobody is surprised. No one is surprised. Again, oh gosh. So I was talking to, just sidestep, I was talking to one of my students today about how it always cracks me up how rich people are against immigrants here, when all of those rich people I have as, like, students, and they all want to immigrate to the U.S. And I'm like, bruh. Do you not, are you not making a connection here between that you will be one of the people that you, one of the Haitians or one of the Bolivians or one of the Peruvians that you hate? Like, you think you're hot stuff because you're rich in Chile, but you won't be a small fish in a big pond if you go to the U.S. So how about we calm down and not be hateful?
I mean, honestly, the thing I liked most about this elections were the memes that it spawned.
Oh, anything that happens in Chile, that... good or bad, the memes in Chile, I mean, if we're going to say Chile might be number education. One, Chile might be number one in memes in the yeah. world. I might have to say that.
Like, if you could export memes, man, we'd be...
So rich. Dude, nobody would ever have a problem. Housing would never be a problem.
Housing would be for free, like transport, health, everything for free. Everything.
Bonk.
Bonk, yeah, yeah. What is this one thing? Well, if Cast wins, I'm going to leave the country. Well, if Boric wins, I'm going to leave the country. And Ladam be like, all right.
Yeah, and Ladam's like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah, go fly with us.
Mm-hmm. And it's true, because Ladam's one of the only, especially post-pandemic, one of the only...
No, I'm sorry, I'm just going to be okay, KLM Air France, not because I like them so much, because they usually have the cheapest offer.
What is that? And you're European, yeah, right? That's true, Air France isn't going to Arkansas.
True that. Maybe they should, eh?
Maybe they should.
Just the hate man.
Maybe they're going to Canada.
Exactly, Air France. Yeah, you should go. Yeah, they speak French in Canada, Air France. And, if you want some more advice.
Maybe they'll go to Louisiana.
You know how to get in touch, Air France. I get to Louisiana easily. I don't charge too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But what you just brought up, the whole thing about the Constitutional Convention, that's actually something that I wanted to talk about very briefly, because one of the articles that I read that brought this up, and I was just like, oh, yeah. Was something. Yeah, I got
that's
the thing, and I think it's important. I mean, it doesn't really have an impact, or I don't think it has a direct impact on the election right now, but it's something that's in the back of everybody's head, and people don't really realize it, because the thing is
that the new constitution,
right, because the ramifications of this year's presidentials are a lot more limited because of the drafting process of the constitution. Because if big enough changes are made to the Magna Carta,
the Magna Carta,
the next president's term could be actually cut short, or the system could altogether switch to a parliamentary system, which would have such a rat tail of changes.
Reason why people panic a lot about presidents for example, in the U.S., right? Presidents are a big deal, but we also have a lot of protections against an insane dictator coming forward. Obviously, for a lot of reasons, there were a lot of bad things that have happened recently in the U.S. As far as hate speech and things like that, because of the presidency of Donald Trump. But in Chile, the president has a lot more power because we have a dictatorship era constitution. And so if the constitution changes the way, and that's one of the most basic elements people want to change, is the power that the president has in Chile. So if that gets changed, it might not matter if Cast gets voted, because all of these changes that he wants to make that are super extreme, he might not have the power at all to make them.
Right. But you could turn this argument around and let's be honest, there has been a lot of controversy about this whole drafting process, and there were proposals about changing the country's name, changing the flag, and people were like, oh, come on, and a lot of people think there are people that think that basically the Constitutional Convention, there's some overreach there, and they're worried about that. And the author made a point that a lot of people might actually vote for Cast because they hope that he's going to install a couple of checks and balances for the Constitutional Conventions, not the other way around.
But he hasn't mentioned anything about that, has he?
No, he has not, but they know
that. Why are we assuming things? Don't be an ass to you and me. Stop assuming things, whoever's listening to me, apparently.
That's what this whole podcast is about. We've been assuming for 2 hours now.
I have just been right the whole time. I'm a political analyst, obviously.
From Reddit University.
From Reddit University.
Exactly.
From Trump University.
Trump, oh, good lord. Is that even a thing? I wouldn't be surprised if that's a thing, right?
Oh my god, you didn't know about this?
I think I've heard
about it. His own university, but it was not accredited.
Yeah, of course it wasn't, but because why would it, But yeah, so basically the author made the argument that people might actually vote for Cast because they knew that he was against basically the redrafting of the constitution, and they were hoping that he would basically put a few checks and balances on the constitutional conventions to prevent overreach,
I don't know if this is the peace go talking, but I feel our points are just as legitimate as these other guys' points.
What?
These real political analysts. I feel like our points are just as valid.
No, it's valid, but it's just like I just read this and I was like, okay, well, that's a good point, because in a way, like right now, everybody's so focused on.
But he hasn't mentioned anything like that. So why are we? Who's this person from? What, The Guardian? Who's this person?
No,
from?
That was from the what's it called?
The O Boy magazine.
I mean, but it was. I think it's an interesting point, because I mean, he might not have mentioned it, but it's still reality that we have to face, and there are people that are not satisfied with the work that the basically Constitutional Convention has done, and they might actually wish for the next president of the country to put a few dampers on the whole thing
to prevent overreach. I don't think they could at this point. Yeah, you can't add anything to the convention. Like, once the Constitution comes out, we get to vote yay or nay.
Yeah.
Listen to our Constitutional Convention episodes. But I don't think they can just add things to the Constitutional Convention at this point. You can, once the Constitution comes out, people can vote for it, and they can reject it,
right.
And they can redraft or not redraft.
I know what you mean, but maybe, I'm no expert, not by a long shot on this one, but I was wondering that maybe the next president could, you know, apply a few tricks of the trade just to curb, even indirectly, the power of the Constitutional Convention to prevent a clash of interests here, because there's going to be conflict there if Cass becomes
president. Just nod, yes or no. Okay, apparently he can.
Yeah, because the thing is that the Constitutional Convention is being overseen. It's not overseen, but it has... It works closely with the SECPRES.
SECPRES.
The Secretaría General
de la Presidencia, no?
Which, yeah, there is the there's no executive oversight, because it's supposed to be its own entity outside of everything.
Again,
but it does have a couple, like...
That's the thing. It's like, maybe you cannot, like, put into effect laws that make it harder, but... There are definitely bureaucratic hurdles.
I mean, the president
can make shit harder for him, you know? And put in, like, the thumb screws, you know? It's like, tighten them and stuff.
Man, there's a reason we were drinking Pisco during this episode.
Yeah.
Everything's stressful.
Oh, good Lord.
When's my vacation?
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening.
And when in doubt...
Gringo out.
The Chile Today podcast is written by Bethany Francis and Leonard Kluge.
Oh, come on.
And it is directed and edited by Podcast Pinguino, a.k.a. Diego Rivera, the amazing...